let's get ready to worship the Lord with some singing and hear some good music. And let's begin our service in prayer. I want to ask Brother Peterson to do this in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. Thank you so much that we can celebrate the Resurrection Sunday. Lord Jesus, we just praise you that you have the power over death, over sin, and over the grave. Lord, thank you so much that you shed your precious blood that we might have salvation full and free. And I pray that today, that lost sinners would come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and that your people, your Christians, Father, would come to know you in a closer and more meaningful way. Thank you again that we have the opportunity to meet together. I pray that you bless the service, bless the singing and the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, let's turn to number 128. May see it. We'll sing this one. See it. Wounded for me.
This heart was broken, mine was made and dead.
138. All rise as we sing, He Lives, He Rose. 138.
blessing. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Strange scripture to go to, talk of the resurrection, but here's one thought, one verse to help us to see that we should believe in the resurrection. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot about the resurrection and about many other important doctrines that the church and the Christians believe, said this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Notice it says, I am persuaded. Now the Apostle Paul was not vague about his belief about Jesus Christ. And when I read the verses about I am persuaded or he is persuaded, I want you to remember this, that the Christian is persuaded, is convinced about certain things, about the resurrection. We believe in the resurrection. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. Jesus said that he would die. He did. And Jesus said he would rise again from the dead, and he did. Now, the resurrection of Christ is not based upon what the church says or what somebody says. It's based upon what Jesus said he would do and that he actually did it. So the resurrection is something that we believe doctrinally and historically because Jesus said in Matthew 28, or the angel said, he is not here, he is risen as he said. Now, you want to remember that this whole resurrection matter is not just a church thing, it is a Bible thing, it is a historical thing. And Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, we have evidence of that. And I want to give you three things this morning. One, we believe the resurrection because of who he is. Because of who he is. We believe because of who he is. Now, Jesus Christ claims to be God, and he said that he and his Father were one. Now, what does Genesis 1:1 say? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you look at Genesis 1:1, or you think about it, you realize that that statement is the foundation of everything else that's miraculous in the Bible. Now, if God can create the universe out of nothing, if he can create the universe out of nothing, isn't it hard for him to raise the dead? I mean, just think about this. Colossians 1:16 says, he is before all things, by him all things consist, and by him all things were made. You realize that everything that is created that you see at night or in the daytime was made by Jesus Christ, because he is also God besides the Son of God. And he came all things. He has all power. He has all authority. Now, because that is true, and because everything is upheld by his power, that's pretty powerful. I'm thinking about how powerful that is. I'm thinking about how awesomely powerful that is, that Jesus Christ can create everything. Now, your heartbeat, your heart, your very being, your very existence, do you realize that you are by the mercy and grace of God alive? You realize that because of God's power to keep you going, because of his mercy and his grace, you are still here? I think sometimes we people get so high and mighty that we think that it's because of us that we're here. It's not because of us that we're here. It's because of God that we're here. Right. Now, whether a person believes in God or not is not really the point. The point is, we have existence because all things are upheld by his power. Well, that tells me that without him, I am nothing. That tells me that because of Christ and because of God's power, I am alive. I can do things because of God's power. I can function because of God's power. I can eat food. I can digest because of God's power. It's because of him that I am alive. We ought to be grateful people. Not just at Thanksgiving, but all the time. When you stop to thank God for your food that you're about to eat or eat, you realize that you're acknowledging him. You realize that you're saying, because of you, I'm able to do this. And that is the truth. You can never be too thankful, but you can become very ungrateful very quickly. Well, listen, Jesus Christ, because of who he is God Almighty, it's not a big deal for him to raise the dead. Now, just stop and think about that. You know, when kids are small, they think their dads can do everything. I mean, really. My kids thought that. My grandkids think that because I get them to think that. I persuade them. Grandpa can do anything. And sometimes the young ones are very easily persuaded. They're very gullible. I hate to say it like that, but that is true. And I can tell them anything. And I got to be careful because they take me very literally sometimes. And so Grandpa can do anything. Grandpa, you're so strong. We arm wrestle, guess who wins? We race, guess who wins? Sometimes they win. We do things that are physical, guess who wins? Grandpa usually wins. Because Grandpa is older and bigger and wiser and all that kind of thing, and I have more, you know, whatever. But as they grow, they'll probably outdo Grandpa. Now, you realize that Jesus Christ is the one that gives us everything, gives us the strength, gives us the power, gives us the abilities. People have a lot of talent, it's God-given. People have a lot of strength, it's God-given. People who can do a lot of things, it's God-given. People who can sing, it's God-given. People, you see, it's all God. We got to remember that and not forget who He is. Give glory to God. In all things, all that you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's how it's supposed to be. Now, listen. I want you to see something about being persuaded that He is able to keep what we say, what we believe. But He's also the one who has all this power. And what He did is what caused us to believe that He rose from the dead. What He did. In Luke chapter 7, remember the widow's son of Nain? He just spoke, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise," and the young man arose. That's because He's got all the power. That's because He's all powerful. The power of God is awesome. I want you to think about this. If He spoke the universe into existence, could He not raise the dead because He said so? I think so. I think so, because He can do that. Now, I want you to think about this. In John chapter 11, come over here with me. John chapter 11. This is a great story about the raising of Lazarus, his friend, from the dead. And Lazarus had actually died. He said, "Let go to wake him from sleep." The disciples said, "Oh, if he's sleeping, that's good that he's sleeping." But He spoke about his death in John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is a great chapter about the resurrection and the power of God. John chapter 11. Now, Jesus had friends, remember? Jesus had friends, and Lazarus and Mary Martha, they were friends of His, and they had word given to Him, brought to Him, that their friend Lazarus had died. Well, he did die, and now, well, he was sick, he's going to die. They wanted Him to come before he could die. They wanted Him to be raised from dead or healed from sickness, but the Lord didn't do that. Now, it does say that the Lord loved him. It does say that the Lord really cared for him, but He let him die. There's a lesson in that. Sometimes we think when we pray, God's going to answer all of our prayers, but not always the case. Sometimes He lets things happen for His purposes, for His reasons, and sometimes it's for the glory of God. It's a hard thing to remember sometimes, but sometimes Jesus Christ just lets things happen because there's a greater purpose and a bigger purpose and a deeper meaning behind all these things. Now, I want you to think about this. When He came to Lazarus, to Bethany, He didn't come right away. He waited 4 days, and by this time He stinketh. I would say so. But this time He stinketh. And He came there. Mary Martha, of course, responded as we would, perhaps. "Lord, if You had come here sooner, my brother would not have died." But no, there's another reason why He didn't come. And so He comes to Bethany, and He says that our friend Lazarus sleeps. Oh, he does well if he's sleeping, but He spoke about his death. What you want to remember is that Jesus Christ said that he had died. That sleeping was equating to death. In the New Testament, when someone is asleep, that's like saying they have died. Well, sleep, because normally when you go to bed, you wake up again as you expect to do that. And so sleep is like that. It's like death. And so our friend Lazarus sleepeth. He's dead, but he's not going to be staying dead. He's dead, but he'll be raised from the dead. And so they don't know that yet. They believe in the resurrection. But then when you have grief, you don't always think right, do you? When you have grief, you're not thinking straight. When you have sorrow and heartache, you're not thinking about, you're not being very rational. That's just the nature of grief. That's just the nature of heartache in this world. And so He tells them that he's asleep. Oh, let him sleep, let him rest. But that's not what he meant. Okay? Now, he comes to Bethany. He asks where he's laid, and he's in the tomb. Well, as far as I can tell, dead people go to the tomb. Not living people, not sick people, but dead people go to the tomb. And so there he is. He comes to where he was laid, where he was wrapped. He comes to the tomb, and Jesus Christ weeps. And they say, behold, behold how he loved him. And that's very true. The Lord Jesus Christ had great compassion and great love for his friends and for everyone. He loves us today. He loves everyone. He always has. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to have eternal life through him. And so he comes to the tomb of Lazarus, and he groans in his spirit. And as he groans in his spirit, can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine what is going on in the minds of those who are watching, Mary, Martha, the neighbors, the friends? Can you just imagine what they're thinking? And he says simple words. He says simply, Lazarus, the Bible says with a loud voice, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And when he said, Lazarus, come forth, what do you think Lazarus did? Lazarus, come forth. And when he said that, Lazarus responded, and he came forth. He came hopping out. He's bound, and he comes out, and he's loosed. Now, you find from that account that Jesus Christ has all the power because he is God, and he was able to call the dead back to life. That's pretty fantastic. That's pretty awesome. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power that he has to do those miraculous things. And so it's not hard for him to be raised from the dead because he raised others from the dead. That is miraculous. That is great. That is wonderful. That is our God. That's the one who can do these kind of things. Are you not glad that you are a Christian?
Amen.
Are you not honored to say, I know Christ is my Savior, and Noah, I am hooked up to him, and he is the one that can do these things for me. He's the one. That's great. That's a blessing. So in John chapter 11, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, boy, that was some big deal. That was a great thing. John chapter 11, because of who he is, because of what he did, raising of his friend Lazarus from the dead. And I want you to also see something else. In verses, 38 to 43, that's about the raising of the Lazarus. He says, come forth, and he did. Now, Genesis 1:6, he made the great lights, and then he says, oh, by the way, and the stars also. You know what that's like? The stars also? That's like an afterthought. That's like, oh, by the way, he also did this. That's like saying, it's not a big deal. That's like saying, it's not a hard thing for the Lord to do that. That's like saying, ah, no biggie. Snap of the finger. That's what that's like when that happened. He made the stars also. If he can do that, can he raise the dead also? Can he do that? Well, of course he can. It's not a hard thing for the Lord to do that. So I'm trying to emphasize that who he is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can do these kind of things that are impossible for a man to do. That's really something to think about. I am persuaded that he can raise the dead. I'm persuaded he can raise himself from the dead because of who he is. And he proved his ability, his power, by raising people from the dead, like his friend Lazarus. Now, you want to remember that it's not a hard thing. It's not a big deal. It's easy for him to do that. John chapter 11. Now, here's something else. I want you to see this. I want you to see the witnesses of the resurrection. The witnesses of the resurrection. Do you know that Jesus Christ, nobody saw him rise from the dead? Nobody saw him. Nobody saw him rise from the dead. Nobody was there at the moment that he rose from the dead. The Gospels The writers don't say anything about them being there at the moment that he rose from the dead. But they saw him after he rose from the dead. It's after his resurrection, that's what people saw, the witnesses, the eyewitnesses. I believe in the resurrection. I'm persuaded because of the eyewitnesses. Now think about this with me. The eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, in John chapter 12, if you look there, verses 1 and 2, John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you realize this, that Lazarus, who was just resurrected, where is he? Where is Lazarus? He's somewhere. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, Lazarus, who had just resurrected, he is sitting with them having dinner. Now, to me, that is really crazy because he was dead. But now, he's alive. Now, can you understand the humor there? Can you see the irony there? He was just dead. They were all crying for him. And now, he's alive. To prove that he's alive, he's doing something that living people do. He's eating. He's eating pizza. Well, he's eating something. He's having a good time. He's enjoying being alive again because he is living proof, as we would say, that he rose from the dead. Well, that's people witnessing his resurrection. Now, come to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 is a good scripture. It talks about people who have been eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ, the living word. These are about people who have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. They have seen him. John says, we have seen him with our eyes. We have held him, the word of life. We had fellowship with him. They're saying, we actually saw Jesus Christ. We actually spent time with him. Now, this was pre-crucifixion. This was pre-cross. And John is saying, we saw him with our own eyes. We have handled him. We're not kidding you. We actually saw him. They are so thrilled that they can say, in all honesty, that we were eyewitnesses of him. Now, the same thing is true about the resurrection. You realize that we believe, and I believe, and you may also feel the same, that because of his resurrection and because of the eyewitnesses that said and wrote about him, that's why we believe in it. That's the major reason why. As I say, we were not there. Nobody was there to see it actually happen at that moment. But we believe that he rose from the dead because of what the eyewitnesses say. Now, I want to come to, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about the gospel. It begins in verses 1, 2, 3 about the gospel. He says, first of all, I declare unto you the gospel which I received, which tells us that the gospel is not something he concocted. It's not something that he fabricated. It is something that was given to him. And he says, the gospel that was given to me, he says, I give to you. Now, the gospel is about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, he says. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, the gospel is good news. And it is good news because it talks about something very personal. It talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I was given the gospel. I was given this privilege to tell you the gospel. It's not mine. Paul says my gospel in some places, but only in the sense of stewardship. He says, I am a steward of the gospel that God gave to me, and I will faithfully proclaim the gospel. And you remember that the Apostle Paul spent some time doing missionary work, and he made at least 3 missionary trips. And on these trips, he started churches, he planted works, he preached the gospel, people got saved, he baptized them, and people were growing, and he started churches. The Apostle Paul was a great Christian, and he was a great missionary, and he gave the gospel wherever he went. It was not his that he made up, but it was his in the sense of stewardship. And so he gave the gospel that was given to him. He said, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the gospel. It has those elements of death. We know that's true. Jesus Christ did die. We know that he was buried. That's a fact. And that burial just emphasizes that he did die. And that burial emphasizes that he is not just, he didn't just swoon, he didn't just faint, he didn't just pass out from the torture. No, it is about him actually dying, giving his life. And so Jesus Christ, then thirdly, rose from the dead. Now, his resurrection is very meaningful because something happened. Something took place. After he rose from the dead, nobody saw him, remember? Nobody saw him rise from the dead. But somebody, some people, saw him after his resurrection. These are the witnesses. The witnesses saw him. In 1 Corinthians 15, you come down to verse number, let's see, verse number 6. Let's see verse number 6. Verse number 5. All right, verse 4 says he was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas. That's very important. Verse number 5. He was seen of Cephas. Now, Peter saw him. Peter saw him. He was seen of Cephas. And what else does it say? He was seen of the 12. All right, here's what we got. We have Jesus, who had died, who was buried, and now he is seen by some people, Cephas, and then of the 12. All right, he's seen by people after his resurrection. Now that tells me that people were eyewitnesses of him after he had risen from the dead. Now the scriptures go on. What's the next verse say? Go ahead, tell us.
About 500
brethren. When? Separately or one time? At one time. He was seen by 500 brethren at one time. Now, that tells me either he was a great musician or he actually was before a lot of people and they saw him after he rose from the dead. That tells me that Jesus Christ was seen by people, real living people, after he rose from the dead. Now, the witnesses, some of them, Paul would say down a few verses, he would say, some of them are alive today, meaning at the time of the writing of 1 Corinthians. And then he would say, but some of them have fallen asleep, some of them have died. You know what that is telling me? That is telling me that these eyewitnesses, they saw him, and just like John says in 1 John, how they saw Jesus and they fellowship with him and they handled him. Same thing. But this time, they saw Jesus after he had died, after he was buried, afterwards he got up. Now, that to me is compelling evidence. That to me is evidence that tells me that I can believe it. I am compelled to believe it because of the evidence of the eyewitnesses. Let's think about this. These eyewitnesses, if they were just deluded, if they were just deceived, if they were just tricked by some con man, would they not eventually say, you know what? I used to believe that, but I don't believe it anymore. I found out that he was not really what he said he was. That's what would have happened, if that's what happened. But that didn't happen. What really happened was that he did rise, and they who believed that actually said, we saw him after his resurrection. And that's why they believed it. They believed it because they were convinced of it. They were persuaded. Now, folks, the resurrection was seen by people. The resurrected Christ was seen by people. And that's why I am convinced of the resurrection, because people saw him after his death and his resurrection. Now, in John chapter 20, you remember John 20? When you have the upper room scene? In the upper room scene, the doors are shut for fear of the Jews. And they're in hiding, the disciples are. And they're literally scared for their lives. But they're hiding in the upper room. And then all of a sudden, there stands Jesus in their midst. But wait a minute, that's not possible. Because the doors were shut, John writes. The doors were shut. How then could he stand in their midst? Well, he walked right through the door. That's pretty fantastic. That's pretty unreal. That is pretty scary to think that he could come through solid doors. Well, he did. Because his body was real, but it was different. Now, the resurrected Jesus Christ, his body was a real body because they recognized him. They saw him. Yet, he was different. His body was different. Remember Thomas? Thomas wasn't there the first Sabbath, the first day of the week when he was there. He was not in church, we would say. And he appeared to the disciples. The next week when Thomas showed up, he said, Thomas, behold my hands and my feet, or my side, thrust in your finger. And he would not do that because he was convinced. Now, earlier in that chapter, it is said that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I bet they were. When you think about what was going on in their heads and the fear that they had, no doubt they were glad when they saw the Lord. I'm emphasizing they saw the Lord. I'm emphasizing they saw him. I'm emphasizing they actually saw his resurrected body. He spoke with them. He ate with them. His body was the same, but it was different. It was a glorified body. And so Jesus Christ actually showed up. What a great thing that was for them to see him. Now, I'm almost done with the little painting here, and I want you to think about this. Here's a grave scene. And you have this little hillside. You have some tombstones here. This means something. This is about life. This is about history. This is about everyone. This is about one man who walked out from the grave. All these graves here, they represent something. They represent other people, other religious founders. They represent, down through history, every person that began some kind of religion. These grave markers represent Buddha, Confucius, Baha'u'llah, Hare Krishna, everybody. These graves represent, down through human history, founders of world religions. Where are they? They're in the grave. They're dead, they're buried. They are no longer alive. Jesus said, why seek ye the living among the dead? You're not going to find living people here. You're not going to find people that can save. You're going to find their corpse. You're going to find their bodies. You're going to find the remains of these people. The contrast is so stark. It is so bleak, the contrast between these people and Jesus Christ. You're going to find out that there's only one person in human history that can save. There's only one person in human history that ever said he could. There's only one person that you can depend on to save your soul from hell. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said this, because I live, you should live also. And brother, I'll tell you something. You trust anyone else besides Jesus Christ for your salvation, you're going to lose. It's going to fail. Whatever you're putting your faith in, it will not save your soul. You can be trusting your religion, and you can be trusting the Pope, your priest. You can be trusting anything, any person, and they will all let you down because they cannot rise from the dead on their own. You have to have supernatural power to do that. And Jesus Christ showed that he was the one to be able to raise people from the dead. Because he raised himself from the dead. Now, I don't know who you like to trust or believe. Some man because he's a good talker. Some person because he's got the charisma. I don't know who you like to trust, but I know what. I would trust someone that said he'd rise from the dead and actually did it.
Amen.
That's who I would trust.
That's right.
I wouldn't trust anybody else. The songs we sang today about Jesus Christ, you know, that'll warm your heart. That'll make you glad you're a Christian. You ought to be glad that you know him as your Savior. You ought to be glad that you are hooked up to him. You ought to be glad that you know him as your Savior. You think about people that don't. What are they trusting? One time, the police officers, one of his officers said, he got injured. And the officer said, Napoleon, save me. And Napoleon looked at his wounds and he says, I can't save you. You know what that meant? That meant that Napoleon was just a man. That his officer, as loyal as he was to Napoleon, was not able to do anything to save one of his loyal officers because men are men. But Jesus Christ is not that. He's the Son of God. He rose from the dead, like he said. And folks, he's the right one for salvation. You remember one time Peter's walking on the water a little while. And then he took his eyes off of the Lord. And then he began to sink. And as he sank, he began to cry, saying, Lord, save me. And when he prayed that, the Lord reached down and saved him. You know why the Lord did that? Because he was walking on the water. And Peter was not walking on the water on his own power. He's walking on the water because of the ability of Jesus Christ to let him do that. Now, do you have a little thing here of a scene by the graveyard? And you got all these. Once upon a time, I was trusting someone like that. Someone in that under the ground to be my Savior. And when someone gave me the gospel, I was so glad because I knew the truth. I had peace in my heart because I realized I now found the right one to follow. So for the last year, so since 1970, I've been trying to tell people about Jesus Christ because I'm convinced he's the right one. I'm convinced he's the one that can save. He saved me, he can save somebody else. Now, let the dead bury the dead. I don't think anybody here can do anything for you or for me, except this one here that came out of this tomb. That one there can do something for you. That one here can get it done. This is the one you need to trust. So have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I think most of you have. But I don't know. You want to be sure you're trusting Him and not your religion. You're trusting in Christ and not some other person's faith. You're trusting in Jesus Christ alone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Shall be saved. And so he saves when you call upon him. He doesn't save you because you think about him or you respect him or you honor him. No, he saves you because you trust in him. So have you trusted in him? Is he your Savior? Well, I hope he is. And if he's not, I can't think of a better day to receive Christ than on Easter Sunday. That would be a blessing. So here we are. Here we are. A little image here of resurrection morning. A little image about Jesus Christ rose from the dead, came out of that grave, and he is alive to save whoever wants to come to him for salvation. You know, I'm glad that Jesus Christ makes it easy, doesn't make it hard, doesn't say you have to do good works and have faith, but he said it's by faith alone, by trusting in him. Ought to be glad about that. It's by faith, not by works. Everywhere you look in the Bible, salvation has come to people that have put their faith in him, trusted in him, not by their good works. It's not religion plus, it's Jesus Christ, period. It's not by promising to be good. It's not for repenting until you turn blue. It's because you have said, you know what? I can't do it. I'm going to trust someone else to do it. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ to do it. And that's what it's supposed to be like. The song says it all. Low in the grave he lay, but then up from the grave he arose. How did he rise from the dead? In his own power. He wasn't a scientist. It wasn't education. It was the power of God. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They said, what? 4 to 6 years it took to build this thing? You're going to do it in 3 days? And then he says, he spoke with the temple of his body. That's power. What are you trusting for your salvation? Now, if you're trusting in Christ, don't let someone talk you out of it. If you're saved, you're saved. I want to thank friends for building me this nice easel. This nice squeaky easel. Done. Jesus said it is finished, but it really wasn't when it comes to what came after. The resurrection came after. The resurrection came after. Brother, it makes all the difference in the world. Because I live, you should live also. I believe in medicine. I think medicine is good. But medicine cannot save. Medicine cannot do some things that only God can do. It'll work. Do you get the drift?
Yes.
That's Paul and prayer. I'm persuaded, Paul says. I'm persuaded. I hope you've trusted him as your Savior and not trusting your religion or tradition. I hope you've put your faith completely in him. That'll do it. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You may have said a prayer. You may have gotten baptized. But that doesn't save you. Just trusting in him that saves you. He said, Pastor, I'm not sure of my salvation. Well, then make sure before you go home today. But what will people think? It doesn't really matter, does it? What people think? What matters is what you do with Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what really matters. Father, I pray that you'd help us today to understand this whole death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for Easter because it reminds us of your resurrection once again and how much it is so critical and how we are right to believe in it, to be persuaded that it is the truth because of these witnesses that never changed their minds with the facing of persecution and torture. They never changed their minds. They never gave up on believing that Jesus rose from the dead. The witnesses never did recant. The apostles and other disciples and other believers, they saw him. They never changed their mind. They weren't deluded. They weren't hallucinating. They were convinced, they were persuaded that he had risen from the dead because he did. They ate with him, they fellowshiped with him. He taught them, he talked with them. It is unscientific, but it is real. And so, because of these witnesses, we believe also. We don't have to see to believe. We believe what the Bible says. And I pray that you help us to have strong faith and not be persuaded otherwise. Thank you, Lord, for a good day. Bless your people. Help us to rejoice in our Savior, the one who rose from the dead, the one who is coming back one day, the one who will take us home one day, the one who guarantees us a place in heaven because we have put our faith in God's Son. Lord, Easter's not just a holiday to us. It's a great day to remember our Lord. And I pray that you help us to enjoy fellowship with you today and others who have like-minded faith. Thank you, Father, for your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm glad you came to church today, and I hope the Lord gave you a blessing. Okay? If you have any questions about the resurrection things, I just want to give you something general today so that you get the picture. That was not a pun, but you get the picture. The important thing is you know him as your Savior. It always comes down to that. All right? Lord bless you. Glad you came today. Thank you for the flowers. Thank you for praying for the service today. And we'll see you the next time we get together. How's that?